computers online. Our timing 44K. Initiate sequence.
T minus 30 seconds.
Server connection confirmed.
T minus 25 seconds.
Live stream for 220K.
T minus 20 seconds.
Phone lines are a go.
T minus 15 seconds.
Satellite uplink verified.
T minus 10 seconds.
Flight check complete. Satellite uplink verified.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Black Op Radio, the voice of political conspiracy research. You're listening to Black Op Radio, the show NSA doesn't want you to hear. Now here is your host, Leno Sanic.
Control room, you're on the air.
Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Black Op Radio. Today we have author, researcher, Mr. Vince Palomera. Hello, Vince.
Hello, Len. Thanks for having me on again. Love Black Op Radio. Thank to you and all your listeners. Appreciate it.
Good. Well, you're well known for your research into the Secret Service, and you've written many books about it, and you've studied them. And it started with the JFK assassination. And today what we wanted to talk about was this Trump shooting that happened almost in your backyard in Pittsburgh there. The thing is, it's very strange. So I'll let you go through there and bring up some of the anomalies, and then I can't help thinking about some of the things that we learned in the JFK assassination.
Mostly parallels.
When you remove a certain security force detail that's supposed to be there, that's when something happens. And first of all, tell me about where you live, where this happened, and how close is it to you?
Oh, this is crazy. Okay, I live in a suburb of Pittsburgh. I'm going to name it in a second, but I want to go in sequence. Butler, Pennsylvania is 45 minutes away from Pittsburgh, north of Pittsburgh. And the suburb I live in is Bethel Park, the same suburb where Thomas Matthew Crooks, the shooter, was from. In fact, he lives about 5 minutes away from me, maybe 5 minutes at best, if even that, drive by. And my mom passed away last year when she was staying at a skilled nursing home. He worked at that skilled nursing home. So you talk about a small world and just unbelievable. And that's the fact that this happened. In fact, Len, that day, Saturday, my wife and I were kind of watching a little bit of the coverage of the rally because it was Butler, PA, but we were just about to shut it off. They were talking about some rally goers were collapsing in the heat and whatnot, and oh, it's a shame. They're in the heat and no bottle of water and that. And then all of a sudden, the female reporter, I forget her name, blonde lady, I never saw her before, said something to the effect of, there's been a disturbance. And like, what? And it just went from there. And just like one thing after another. The crazy thing is, though, like this Thomas Matthew Crooks, 20 years old, graduated from Bethel Park in 2022. He was first acting suspiciously by the magnetometers at the entrance to the rally in Butler, PA. It's even before, obviously, the rally began. He was carrying a hunting rangefinder, which is basically people hunt for deer or any kind of game they use. It looks like a little binoculars. And because of this, he was on law enforcement radar at least 30 minutes and upwards of an hour before the shooting began. And Crooks used an AR-style rifle. He had explosives in both his car and his home. Now, the interesting thing, like Lee Harvey Oswald, associates claimed Crooks was a bad shot. He was even rejected from his own high school rifle team. And yet he supposedly does this amazing shot that day. Now, on the one hand, Crooks was a registered Republican who voted in the 2022 midterms. But he also donated to a Democratic Party fund. And now it's coming out that it could have been more his mom or dad, or just his dad was a real pro-Trumper and he wasn't. And just because you're Republican, I mean, there's never Trumpers in the Republican Party. So it's not such black and white thing. Some people were looking at it as, see, you can't blame the Democrats because this guy was, Republican.
Well, can I interrupt for a second? I mean,
sure,
he registers at 20, only 20, like you say, like at 20, I'm worried about getting my van detailed or something,
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, man. And the biggest thing is not even a close second is the rooftops. You know, make an analogy by the JFK assassination. You know, they guarded building rooftops many times between 61 and 63, one of my major discoveries. In fact, I went back to FDR, Truman, and Eisenhower, as well as the Kennedy administration. In fact, 4 days before in Tampa, November 18th, building rooftops were guarded with sheriff's department with long arms and Thompson machine guns and whatnot. Okay, and in this modern era, ever since then, building rooftops, that's standard fare all from LBJ through and including Trump. That's the standard fare. Now, even lay amateur people that don't know anything about security, Secret Service, FBI, anything, could obviously look and say that rooftop that Thomas Matthew Crooks was on is an obvious area of danger. It's right there adjacent to the speech site. There you go. And yet, we're supposed to believe the Secret Service that actually had their staging event underneath the roof, okay, the law enforcement staging area, they didn't consider that roof, you know, a bad, very dangerous, potentially dangerous vantage point. It gets even worse. Now, the Secret Service director has come out. Kimberly Cheadle is stating that the top of the roof where the gunman was located was not secured because it was a sloped roof. Yet, the two roofs the counter-sniper Secret Service teams were on were sloped roofs. So, wait a minute. And he also showed still and motion video, still photography and motion videos of presumably law enforcement, some type of FBI or maybe just local police. I guess they were cleaning off the blood on the roof and they were hosing off the roof, and he had no trouble standing up. In fact, after they killed Thomas Matthew Crooks, you could see three law enforcement people standing there looking at his body. So they had no trouble getting on this roof. It's such a lame, irresponsible thing. I just can't believe it. And again, it was only 140 or so yards from where Trump was speaking. They claim this was the outer perimeter then, but it really the inner perimeter. Anything like that that's so close. I mean, for a gunman, 140 yards is really nothing, especially with a high-powered scope and whatnot all the time to shoot. Just amazing. And I think what happened was, well, backing up a little bit, now about the 30 minutes to an hour before that, near the magnetometers, he came under law enforcement. People were wondering what was going
Oh,
on.
just pardon me. Can you
Go ahead.
explain what a magnetometer is?
Yeah, magnetometers are metal detectors. What they are is when people go to a speech site, they pass through a magnetometer like you would in, you know, the airports. And if you have anything metal, they check it out. Obviously, any knives, you know, weapons, guns, whatnot, so that you can't pass. So you're safe to go to the speech site, in this case, an open air rally, and you can sit down and they're confident you don't have a gun on you or a knife or whatnot. So he was by. He never went through them, but he was by there, and people were noticing he seemed off, something strange about him, and also having those hunting rangefinders, those little mini binoculars. So you have that, and then the real smoking gun. All the amateur iPhone videos of, you can hear Trump, the echo of his voice speaking. And so it's in real time. And people are shouting, there's someone on the roof, he has a rifle. And they're calling for officers. And you can see him like climb up on the roof, Thomas Matthew Crooks. But then he starts to do like a military crawl. It just with his elbows crawl. And again, you can hear Trump's speech in real time. All this is going on. They're shouting for somebody to do something. So not only did they have a chance anywhere between a half hour to an hour in advance to stop them. There's all these civilians saying, oh my God, there's somebody on the roof. There's somebody on the roof. Nothing's done. And then the counter sniper team that ultimately took out Thomas Matthew Crooks. It's obvious in the video, he sees them because he looks up from his scope and he quickly looks back down and fires. And what they're saying now is they think the scoped roof did have one disadvantage for the counter sniper team. If you looked straight on, it didn't look like anybody was there. And only when he peeked his head up or in certain angles could you actually see him. But again, that's absolutely no excuse for the fact that roof should have been manned. It should have been drones and or actual law enforcement people of some sort, agents, police, well, not state and local police. And the fact they left that open like that, it shouldn't even been a situation where someone could have got up there to begin with. There was a ladder. Now, there's a lot of debate where it's a fixed ladder or he brought the ladder. Let's just say for argument's sake, no, it was a fixed ladder. All right, so what? They should have made sure that that ladder was manned down below at the very least, and no one could go up it. There was no way to get onto the roof, and yet he used that ladder, whether he brought it or it was fixed to the building, he used that to get up there. And I'm telling you, Len, right now, whether you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, you're from another country, you care, you don't care, you hate Trump, you like Trump, love him, whatever, His assassination would have been so deadly for this country because here's a story. Back in 1992, the Rodney King riots were just in L.A., okay? Just in Los Angeles. People were beat up and all those places were burned down. I would say if, God forbid, Trump would have been assassinated, you would have seen things like that all over the 50 states of America. It would have been like something no one's ever seen before. There would have been people killed, injured. Even if somebody had like a Biden sign on their lawn, you probably have people that were so inflamed by this, they'd beat them up, kill them, burn their house, damage their car. The list goes on. It would have been total madness and mayhem. Probably had to martial law and have the National Guard and things shut down. It'd be like COVID all over again. Everything would be shut down. Couldn't go to work. Everything would be shut down. The economy, you know, the morale, how this would totally ruin the nation's spirit. Because again, putting aside party politics and what you think of as a human being, this would have been horrible for the country, whether it was Biden or Trump or RFK Jr. for that matter. Assassinations, you got to do it by ballots, not bullets. This is not a banana republic, so you have that. And again, it strains credulity. After the John F. Kennedy assassination, most conspiracy people believed that it was a shooter from the rear and the front. So it's not Oswald. We're talking about a shooter from the rear. It was obviously in one of the buildings, at least the Texas School Book Depository. Okay, well, you live and learn by that. So whether you believe the official story or not, you have the modern-day Secret Service that looks at the Zapruder film all the time during their training and other assassination films and photos. It's ingrained in their brain. They're constantly trained, and retrained. They're also trained to cover and evacuate. Just look at the beautiful video of March 30th, 1981. I spoke to Jerry Parr, the head of the White House detail at the time, and how he pushed Reagan in. We'll get to that in a second about what the agents did after. But the big thing about the rooftops is just outrageous. The Department of Homeland Security, where the Secret Service comes out of, used to be the Treasury Department for 100-plus years. Well, now the Department of Homeland Security, since 2003, while they're conducting an investigation of this matter, I hope it's not going to be another Blue Ribbon Warren Commission panel, that they have a real this. Heads are going to roll. I think some people are going to be let go and obviously going to beef up security, but it could have been too little too late if this assassination, if he just didn't, they say he was looking at that graph, that chart, and if he wouldn't have turned his head, Trump, initially he said it was 1 to 2 inches made the difference. Now the doctors and people are coming out saying it was more like a couple millimeters made the difference between a successful assassination or not. So it's just amazing. You know, with the scopes those two counter-assault officers had, they could have counted the freckles on Crook's face. So you have all that about the rooftops. Then you have the advanced team of agents, Len. Bare minimum, they get there 48 hours in advance, but usually it's 2 weeks in advance. Let's just say it was the bare minimum, 48 hours. It would take you 48 seconds to see that roof and say, we need somebody on there. We need a drone. We need at least one law enforcement person there, ideally several people. Shut that down. Shut down any kind of risk of high-rise buildings, trees, you know, hillsides, you name it, towers, all that. So the law enforcement, you know, the state local police are guided by the Secret Service. Secret Service is the final rule. The buck stops with the Secret Service, okay? And the fact that they couldn't see that is just unbelievable. I still can't wrap my head around it. I can't wrap my head around the fact that the assassin was from my hometown, and I can't wrap my head around just after all that we've done, maybe, if there wasn't any assassinations in the last 100-plus years, they got a little, you know, complacent and whatnot. But, you know, it's fresh on everybody's memory, not just JFK and the attempt on Reagan's life, but the two attempts on Ford, Truman in 1950, and all the things that don't make the headlines. This was a little-known assassination, but back in, I think it was 2004, in Russia, I think it was Georgia, not Atlanta, Georgia, but Georgia in Russia, someone threw a grenade at George W. Bush. It just didn't go off. And the Secret Service, they tried to make that little publicized as possible because they don't want copycats. That's a lot of times you don't hear about a lot of things unless they absolutely have no choice, you know, to talk about them because they don't want copycats. They don't want that out there. So the advance, you had a security, huge deficiency with the rooftops, huge deficiency with the advance team. Then the agents themselves, who didn't seem to have standard earpieces. I know so many people for the life of them have looked at still photos and videos, and they cannot see any standard earpieces. The site agent, according to Real Clear Politics, the site agent, the agent in charge of putting together all the security measures for an event in place like that, he was relatively new and of limited experience. And according to the Secret Service, this is amazing, Trump's permanent detail were stood down for the Butler rally because they were overburdened working consecutive weeks and needed a break. So the headquarters sent in temporary agents to assist. And judging by some of the things he did, it was Keystone cops or worse. The way they acted at the black SUVs, you know, the short female agents, lady had tough time getting her pistol out of her holster. The way they looked and acted was really silly and amateurish. But backing up to when the shots seemed to be over. Now, they did say, you can hear, clear as a bell. All clear. We're all clear. But like other security people have said on TV, former agents, you can't just use that as the Bible. A few seconds after assassination attempt, somebody says, all clear. Okay, you're all clear for that shooter. But there could be another one out there somewhere. It could be a 1-2 punch. You know, it was a diversionary thing and the real thing's coming. You could never assume in those few split seconds after, better safe than sorry. Now, the good thing they did is Trump got down after he was hit in the ear. They all got down. Beautiful. Good job there, Secret Service. But then they let him stand up, exposing his chest and his face, and, you know, let him, fist pump. It was great photo ops, good, like, Iwo Jima type of iconic photographs, mind you, but it's standard fare. You know, just like they were videotaping CNN and all the networks were there, too, because, you know, that's just the way they do things. But they let him stand up, stationary, fist pumping, going, fight, 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 USA, USA, USA. They should have got like a flying wedge, kept him low, and got him the heck out of there. And another thing, too, because that's the agents themselves, okay? Why didn't they use bulletproof glass? Bulletproof glass is standard fare now at open air festivals, even indoor. I could cite two famous examples most people know of. When then President-elect Barack Obama in November 2008, he won the election. Well, his whole family, Michelle, him and the two kids, came out in Chicago in front of thousands and thousands of people. There was a huge bulletproof glass in front of them. Famously, January 6, 2021, infamous day, the insurrection. Well, Trump was there behind the glass. That's what they do. And now on an open air thing, they should have had him behind bulletproof glass. And yes, that bulletproof glass, they don't give specifications, they're classified, but I'm understanding it could stop basically a grenade or small arms fire. So an AR-15 bullet would not have penetrated it. Why they didn't use it, unbelievable. And just, you know, that's basically the main areas of security. It basically covers it all there. It's just a matter of, I think what it was they got a little complacent. Yeah, the main detail was overburdened, and I think it was the locale, Len. Just like John F. Kennedy visiting Boston, your first reaction is, oh, he's on safe territory. He visits Texas, and obviously John Birch Society, KKK wanted for treason. That's a bad area to go to. Well, Butler, PA is very red, very pro-Trump. So I think a little human nature kicked in and said, hey, we got these temporary agents, but Trump will be safe. He's out in the open air. Okay, these people love him here in Butler, PA. It's not like he's going to, I don't know, somewhere in Vermont or something, or somewhere to where he's, quote unquote, in dangerous territory. So they created a little bit of a breakdown there. But again, stationary target, no bulletproof glass in that rooftop. That's the major thing. And I'd say another thing, too, is this was not staged. A spectator was killed and two others were critically wounded. I've seen this going around, and sometimes people try to take things out of context. Like some of the things I've said, I said this was not staged. It's ridiculous. I will concede, if no one would have been hurt in this, there's things that make you paranoid that it was. But no, the fact that a man was killed and two were critically injured, we can end that now. That's ridiculous. And then, interesting thing, Len, QAnon's fake JFK Jr., Vincent Fusco, was standing right behind Trump. I don't know if you noticed or not. If you look at Trump on his right, which was the picture left, it's definitely him. It's been confirmed. In fact, there's real clear photos of Vincent Fusco in the area shaking hands with people before the rally. So the QAnon's fake JFK Jr. was there. And just like backtracking a little bit here, Paul Landis, the JFK agent, who's an author who came out with the book last year about the single bullet theory, whatnot. He's actually claiming the agents did a good job, but an agent I spoke to, Dan Emmett, he was in the Secret Service from 1986 to 2004. He served George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, and George W. Bush. He was a member of the counter-assault team, also known as the CAT team. He said the Secret Service dropped the ball. He said the counter sniper team did a great job. And he tried to say the shooter being on the roof was should have been a local police department officer, but the Secret Service definitely dropped the ball and will assume the responsibility. So again, the buck stops at the Secret Service. And yeah, so that's basically.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. Like,
sure.
How do you think the guy, like, first of all, you said they were looking for somebody with a rangefinder.
Yes.
You know, so, and that's measuring the distance. And if you're a sniper at all, you're thinking about drift, wind, whatever. But then secondly, how do you get in there and climb up on a ladder?
Yeah. Yeah. It's incredible. Like I said, whether he carried it or not, let's just say he didn't carry it. It's very much in dispute right now whether he took a ladder or was there. I would tend to think the ladder was already there. Okay.
Yeah, but you know, we can't tell. So
yeah,
in one way, it's like, was a rifle hidden there? Was a ladder there? I mean, and then this is a plan. And then, then you kind of go, oh, well, the way that the security was relaxed, was he assured, you know, like a Jack Ruby or something? Don't worry, you can get in. You'll be a hero, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And, it's definitely grist for the mill for people that think it wasn't staged, but there was like an inside job. There was some dirty members of the Secret Service. It definitely is grist for the mill for that. I will say that. No hoax, no nothing staged, but as far as that goes, because this was a blunder of monumental proportions. Just going no further than JFK assassination, which they're constantly reminded of, trained and retrained. I mean, they have a place in Beltsville, Maryland, ironically named after James J. Reilly, JFK's Secret Service chief, called the James J. Reilly Training Center. And they prepare for every eventuality. They have somebody who pretends to be the principal, the president, you know, and people coming from the perimeter, coming from the crowd, firing guns. They jump into a limousine. They carry them like a flying wedge. They prepare for rooftop assassins and whatnot. So it's just incredible to me in this day and age, in 2024, especially all the threats that are levied against Donald Trump and Joe Biden this day and age, you know, with social media. After 9/11, so many people have been radicalized via the internet, you know, always waiting for the other shoe to drop when it comes to terrorism. And you have these symbols of our democracy out there. I mean, President Trump was a former president who was running to be president again. It wasn't like he was some lowly congressman with no chance to, you know, be a president. So he'd say, well, we can just give him some local field office guys, some former bodyguards. Okay, then you can kind of rationalize that's why. But no, when President Trump didn't win re-election, even if he didn't run again, he got Secret Service protection for life. And the Secret Service protection he receives is maybe a hair under Biden's. And even that's very debatable. I'd say it's pretty much neck and neck. And especially now that he's running for president again, I would say there's no shortcuts taken or nothing like that. Maybe the only thing I'll concede is maybe I'm speculating now. If Biden got 30 agents, maybe Trump would only get 24 to 28. So it'd be very infinitesimal at best. But again, I'm speculating. Yeah. My gut's telling me they get the same exact protection.
Well, now, the problem is I was quite dismayed that Robert Kennedy was denied protection. You know,
yeah.
As if you're not a viable candidate, we're not going to give you protection. I mean, it was more like he's a Kennedy, you know.
Yes.
Do you know what happened to his brothers? You know.
Yeah, yeah, so I know exactly. His father and his brother. Yeah, yeah. And Ted Kennedy. Yeah, he had a threat in 1979. A lady with a knife attacked him in the Capitol. So he had that. He didn't get hurt, but she went after him. So
All right.
But your point's well taken. Yeah.
So, being the devil's advocate, see the thing with this is that. If somebody was on a building and just got a shot, you look, you know, how did the guy get there? He was lucky or he dressed up as a Secret Service agent or something. You could kind of go, oh, that's how he did it. But this guy was up there for so long. People
yes.
were reporting. They're yelling, there's a guy up there with a gun. And then I heard that the Secret Service were told, we don't shoot first. We wait for the guy to take the shot and then we shoot back. You know, it's like, are you kidding me? You know, like many things in this thing, I kind of went, are you kidding?
You're right. You're absolutely right, Len. You hit the nail on the head. That speaks volumes. You don't need a Secret Service author and expert like me. Just John Q. Citizen at the rally and people online, you know, armchair detectives who have no expertise in security with their own common sense, their eyes and ears. They're seeing all the iPhone videos and they're everywhere, Len, on TikTok. You have to go no further than TikTok. There's just a polluted with different iPhone videos, okay? And you see, oh, by the way, a new video was released today of someone who's filming Thomas Matthew Crooks, the shooter, about an hour before it all began. He's all there by his lonesome, by the building, sticking out like a sore thumb. Everybody's in line waiting to get in the rally. And he's standing there kind of moving back and forth, kind of calling attention to himself, walking around, milling around. Like, what's this weird, nerdy dude standing there at the very least? Now, hindsight's 20/20, but the video is chilling because there's no one near him. He's sticking like a sore thumb. You would think security people at that point. And they did, because not only did the Magnetometers, like I said earlier, he came under law enforcement and civilian interest at that point. But again, you had the people shouting at the buildings. And before that, you had the sniper team, that actually counter-sniper team, Secret Service, on the rooftops, the other sloped rooftops they had no trouble getting on, by the way. Well, they had him under their crosshairs. And their crosshairs are 100 times better than an AR-15 scope or any other kind of rifle. They're space age. I think the specs are under classification. They won't tell you what it is, but the scuttlebutt is they could see your freckles, if not your pores. They're just unbelievable at long distances. So they caught sight of him, and he had plenty of time to take him out. So this whole thing was – the Reagan assassination attempt was a close call. This, I think, is the closest close call in American history and maybe even world history. This was something else. This is just, it's hard to fathom in this day and age, 2024. It's not 1984. It's not pre-internet, pre-terrorism, pre-this, pre-that. I mean, we live in a day and age where there's so much hate online. You know, you have to go no further in social media to see the people that hate Trump and Biden too. And so you think you got to always assume there's a lot of people that wish harm on someone out there, even if it's just to throw a tomato or throw something, hurt them that way. And I still can't get it.
Somebody threw a shoe at George Bush.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that one I kind of smiled at. Like,
yeah, I did.
Because
too. I think
it wasn't
people.
A death threat. It was like, I'm pissed off at you and the only thing I got is a shoe, you know? So, I mean.
Yeah.
But this is. Like you're saying, this candidate, Trump, like it or not, I mean, you got to beat him at the ballot box or run someone who's better. And by killing, I haven't written things down, but there's probably 20 things that are astronomical, unbelievable. And two bullets, I think I sent you, somebody did a 3D animation of how close
yes.
those bullets were. I mean, it's yeah. just, another one is go, oh my, that's unbelievable.
You know? Yes, it really is. It's a matter of – it was only because he turned his head to look at the chart. If he didn't turn his head, he was a dead man. And there's no sugarcoating it. Oh, Vince, you know it for sure. When an AR-15 bullet hits your head, you're done. You're done.
Oh,
he had
yeah.
no chance.
And like you say, can you imagine if he was killed?
Oh.
I mean, it's just because you can think back to maybe the night that Martin Luther King was shot or you know, you mentioned those riots in L.A. and stuff, right?
Yep. But this would have been cross-country.
All right.
This would have been all around the country. Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. Now it's time to get I hate to be the one saying this because I shouldn't, but it's time to get the tin foil out. Let's talk about that BlackRock commercial ad
yes.
that features the guy. He's in a BlackRock. Now, if you start to go, who hates Trump? Well, these guys that want to keep the forever war going, the Ukraine war, this and that. You know, what did Trump say? He said, I will end the war. I'll phone Zelensky and say there's no more money. I'll phone Putin and say, look, I ended the money. You end your thing. The war's over. Stop the killing. Now, this guy's in a BlackRock commercial at that school. I mean, really, that's really, yeah, that's another one. We're writing down, I should make a checklist. Unbelievable.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100%. Like I said, I don't think it was a hoax or stage in any way, shape, or form as far as that goes. But there's definitely grist for the mill that the Secret Service was compromised like they were with Dallas with JFK's time. And that was back in 1963. In 2024, you better believe that there's agents that don't privately don't like Biden, privately don't like Trump. There's no doubt about it. There's agents that came out and said they didn't like Clinton at all. They didn't like his morals, and especially one quit because he couldn't stand the thought of having to guard him. And all, obviously, we know about Hillary. She had a lot of the agents didn't like her one bit. So, I mean, yeah, that definitely is grist for the mill. And the whole BlackRock commercial blew my mind. I couldn't believe it. Like, oh, my God, how is he in this commercial? And now it's coming out. All the people saying he was bullied, now there's people that graduated with him and said he wasn't bullied. That was all made up. And I'll be honest with you, the videos I've seen, there's a couple amateur videos, iPhone videos of him in school. They're clowning around with him, but they like him. They're getting along. In fact, they said that he was always the answer man in class. If there was a teacher asking a question, chances are Thomas was going to raise his hand or know the answer. And so, yeah, we're all picked on to a certain degree, but I think that there was some exaggeration afterwards. And I really don't think school bullying would lead to someone wanting to take out Trump or Biden or anything. I think that's really a stretch. But, yeah, the whole BlackRock thing makes you paranoid. The huge, gross, insufficient security measures makes grist for the mill. And, again, you have to look no further.
When you say insufficient, it's – it gets into the negative number. It's like, no, it can't be that. They couldn't have. What do you mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Believe me, I hear you. I definitely think it's hard. It's very hard to say this was this negligence. Oh, bad boys, you didn't do your checklist. You should have did this, this, and that. But when you could say, if I was standing there in the rally, whether it was for Biden or Trump, I would even be looking around and go, oh, that rooftop, I'm assuming there's someone there. And I hope to God it wasn't an assumption. The counter-sniper guys were looking there. And they were perched up there on their rooftops, two different sloped rooftops of the counter-sniper team. They had to have been looking over there the whole time. That's the whole reason they're up there. I mean, the magnetometers took care of the people going through the crowds, sitting down in the chairs, standing on the ground. So they're not going to have any weapons there. But you have to worry about trees, towers, rooftops. Oh, and I'm sure you heard this one, Len. Did you hear about a couple of witnesses that claimed there was a shot from a tower? Have you heard this one?
Well, no, I haven't. But I'm waiting to see if there's any more trajectory analysis done from the people who were wounded and killed from behind Trump.
Yes.
You know,
yeah, I'm waiting for that, too.
You know? Because
well, every
it'd be
day,
so convenient, you get this unknown kid who I don't want to speculate.
Master marksman.
Too crazy, but I'm just saying, you know, that this kid somehow gets put up to doing this, and the second he shoots, he's shot and killed, so there's no questioning, there's no nothing, and people are saying, you know, what's his motive or nothing, you know, well, hell, what the hell, he's only 20, or, you know, like... And in spite of
another thing too, Len.
Yeah,
And Len, the piggyback of what you just said, the FBI, as far as I heard, I haven't heard anything lately. They still can't get into his phone. He had next to no social media or any kind of online footprint. They can't find a motive. Like I said, the contradictory. His parents were Trumpsters. So
yeah, it's almost too convenient.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and that's really why. Where we have looked into the Kennedy assassination for 60 years and we say, there's something wrong. We don't believe the Warren Commission. And, you know, we're investigating this and we're spending time just to learn to make sure it doesn't happen again. But when we see this, they go, wow, if they had, if it wasn't, you know, whatever you want to call it, Trump just turning his head at 1 second, he would have been killed and they would have blamed it on this kid. And then that would be that. And some people would be giving themselves high fives and say, well, like, what it's amazing the cell phone footage that people took beforehand. That's amazing.
That's what's really dead. It's one thing for a human testament because we know, Len, if it wasn't for the iPhone videos, there'd be people saying, oh, you're mistaken. You were only calling out to the shooter when it was happening. But no, the iPhone videos don't lie. In real time, you can hear the echo of Trump speaking, delivering. You could probably code it to the second.
Yeah, they have. I've seen videos like on Jimmy Dore or wherever where they have two or three videos and you can, they have like a stopwatch, I think, of up to 2 minutes.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah, right. And you can see that these are real and it's not phony, whatever, and it's people who come forward after the fact to say, I complained to the police. Actually, a policeman went up, they posted the guy up there to try to push him up and looked, and when he saw the guy, the kid aimed his rifle at him, so he ducked down. You think that guy would have pulled out his revolver and yelled out, gun, shot in the air.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, did something to try to thwart him, even if he was temporarily stunned by going up there and seeing some kid with a rifle. At the very least, you shot something. You get on your radio, your phone, you shoot a diversionary shot to stop everything going on, because if an officer shoots up in the air, you better believe the Secret Service would have lunged for Trump then and he never would have been shot, period. You know, so yeah, your point's very well taken, Len. Good thoughts, man. Yeah. So this is just, like I said, I'm still sitting here and I'm still dazed. I'm dazed partly because, you know, the shooter comes from my hometown, but also just the fact that how damn, like, everyone's going along. Everyone's talking about it still. It's on their mind, but life's going on. People are posting funny memes and stuff about other things. I'm thinking to myself, do you realize how damn close we came to anarchy in America, martial law? And true bloodshed, a true bloodbath. I really think it would have been like Civil War. You're a Democrat. Well, I'm a Republican. I love Trump. And it would have got to the point where they would say, you bastards killed him. You're a Democrat. And they'd be killing or hurting, you know, innocent civilians that had nothing to do with the shooting just because, you know, they would label the Democrats. I'm saying this is very, very dangerous, not just for Trump and his family, but also just for the Republic and our standing in the world, too. Everyone would see us as a banana republic. Like, this thing only happens overseas or, you know, in I don't know, South American countries and whatnot. Not in America. Now, we've had attempts and whatnot. Obviously, we had JFK. But see, the thing with JFK is the official story was a lone nut. So that's how they get away with that propaganda that, oh, no, well, that was a lone nut. You know, so that's you can't say we're a banana republic.
Well, look, this guy doesn't have any connections to anything.
Yeah, well, the big thing, Len, is like I said to start the show, he failed his high school rifle team. He was rejected, and they all said he was a bad shot, yet he's like an Olympic marksman on the day of the assassination attempt. Olympic marksman. I mean, he was a gnat's eye away from blowing Trump's head off. And it's only because Trump turned his head, too. That's the other thing, too. If Trump doesn't turn his head, successful assassination. And he just turned it right, probably literally turned it as the bullet was coming out of the stock there. I mean, that's how close this was. This is incredible. So, yeah, this isn't going to be anything that time's going to heal or like, oh, Vince, there's another news cycle. Something else has come along to distract people. I don't see how it could, because we just literally and figuratively dodged a bullet here. It's a dumb play. But Secret Service, I don't think they should leave. People would say, hey, Vince, do you think the Secret Service should disband? I say this. They got lucky he's not killed. So because of that, they could make sure that they never let this happen again with proper rooftop security and surveillance and all that. If this would have been a successful assassination, bye-bye Secret Service. Some other branch of the federal government would have to take over. That's too much now.
He lost the people talk about a DEI hire.
Yes.
Do you want to get into that a bit? Because you just mentioned that agent fumbling to try to even find her holster.
Yes.
Let's get into that. These people look very unprepared.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about the agents that were actually there. Yeah, the female – and again, I'm not – this isn't sexism. I'm not picking on females. It could have been short men, so I just want to preface that. But these female agents looked very scared and unprepared, and it's like become a Keystone Cops meme where people loop it over and over again when she goes to try to put her pistol out of her holster. It's comical. I mean, it's sad and comical at the same time. She could tell she's never unholstered it. She didn't know what she was doing. And the way they were fumbling around at the podium was ridiculous. And again, letting the man, the principal, which is Donald J. Trump, letting him stand straight there, stationary, and pump his fist, say, fight, 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 USA, USA. You know, again, there was some security people on TV because some people have been devil's advocates. Advance, come on. They said all clear. That's only all clear for the shooter who was down. That's not all clear for any other potential threats. And again, those few short seconds, let alone minutes or hours after the assassination, you could never assume that, oh, that's it. He's dead. We're done. Because look, you can even go in history. November 1st, 1950, the Truman assassination attempt was two armed Puerto Rican nationalists that killed an officer and wounded another one. They were there to kill President Truman. Okay, another President TRU. This time it was Truman. And going back in history, we know Abraham Lincoln, even though it was one shooter, that was a conspiracy of multiple people who were hung by the gallows. We all know John F. Kennedy, but he's a thinking person and knows that was a conspiracy of multiple gunmen. So you got that. Then you got all sorts of Banana Republic shootings overseas and in the Middle East and this, that, and the other, you know, so you have all that. But these agents, yeah, they were, I definitely can see what Real Clear Politics is alleging, that these were temporary agents replacing Trump's normal detail. And what's that remind you of? You know, Kennedy, during that summer of 63, a lot of agents transferred out, got out of the vaunted White House detail. And they were replaced by new green agents who had little or no experience. And some of those were the agents that were on the Texas trip. And they didn't know their, you know, butt from a hole in the ground. And, you know.
Well, there's that classic footage of one of the agents on the airfield there. And they leave him. You know, I mean, even that one, you shake your head. How could that happen?
Yeah, and that was little old me out in the wilderness back in 1991. I got a whole bunch of VHS videotapes from Canada, the Collector's Archives. I don't know if he's still around. Dave Hawkins, he used to sell assassination stuff on video. And so they were like $100 back in 1991. Someone, make a long story very short, someone back in 1983 filmed off the TV in Fort Worth. They showed in the dead of night, one time only, all their coverage of November 22nd, 23rd, and 24th was some lucky son of a gun. Fortuitous, he actually taped it off the TV, and that made the rounds, made the Canada. I got copies. Well, back in 1991, I'm looking at them, and that's how I discovered the Love Field recall of the agent, Don Lawton. Another agent was recalled, Henry Ripka, but he was out of camera view. He was picked up at the newsreels earlier. But the bottom line is, I, you know, end up showing that in The Man Who Killed Kennedy, A Coup in Camelot, countless presentations. It was little old me out in the wilderness was going, wait. Kennedy's limousine's moving out. Why is that agent standing there and raising his arms three times, the universal sign of what gives or in disgust? And it turns out later on, find out the agent's Don Lawton. Well, in 1995, I did not know that he was the agent in question, but I still spoke to him. And I asked him, you know, about Dallas. He goes, oh, you know, you always have regrets. Who knows? If only they would have left guys in the back of the car. That's very telling. He didn't say, well, President Kennedy didn't want us all on the back of the car. Or he could have said some other lie and said, you know, something else. We did the best job we could. The first thing out of his mouth was, if only there's plural, or left guys in the back of the car. And it was only later on that I discovered, my God, this was Don Lawton. And it only came about, Len, because around 2008, from the JFK library, I got pictures of a lot of the agents that were previously unidentified. And I was like, oh my God, it's Don Lawton. He even confirmed it was him interview when we spoke to Clint Hill and Gerald Blaine for their books. There's absolutely no denying that. Earlier, I talked about an agent, Henry Ripka. He was recalled as well. He mentions in his report in volume 25, of the Warren Commission volumes, he was walking with the limousine and then he stopped walking with it. But that was what happened. Emory Roberts stood up, told him to cease and desist. And famously, in the video that picks up right when Don Lawton's still walking with the limousine, that's when you can see Emory Roberts, the shift leader, stand up and with his hands gesture him back. Paul Landis, ironically, makes room for Don Lawton in the FOB car. He actually gets off his part of the running board, leaves it open for Don Lawton. Don Lawton doesn't budge. He stays at Love Field. Don Lawton told an Army intelligence officer friend of his, this came out right after his passing in a small article in an Idaho newspaper, Don Lawton said, I should have been there. I should have been on the back of the car. As it turns out, he was in the back of the car for the Tampa trip, the whole 28-mile motorcade, which was like almost three times longer than Dallas. He was on the back of the car in Chicago in March of 63, and Lord knows how many other times, and a lot of others, his other compadres too. So this is crazy. Oh, another thing too, this is an amazing thing that's coming out in the new book. I mentioned this briefly in another book, but the other agent who rode in the back of the car, Don Lawton, Chuck Zaboral, he served in the same Marine unit in San Diego as Oswald, the very same one. There's a manifest, a list of all the Marines who served at that time and down to the same unit. You see in alphabetical order, Oswald, keep going, Chuck Zaboral. So that is unbelievable. He's on the back of the car for the Tampa trip, and he says, he claims in a retirement home interview X amount of years ago that, you know, I was actually slated to be in the back of the car for the Dallas trip, but I ended up protecting the Kennedy residence in Virginia instead. And he talks about the regrets. He wishes he was there as well. But the small world about Oswald and him serving the Marines, he's on the back of the car, and then he wasn't. It's grist for the mill for a lot of strange connections to all this stuff. That's why, I mean, it's a paranoid person's paradise, but there's a lot of smoke there. Where there's smoke, there's fire. And, you know, my feet are firmly on the ground. A lot of assassination attempts were by lone people. I go where the evidence is. There's no evidence. That's the end of the ball game, but not just like the JFK. Well, just like the JFK assassination, this attempt raises a lot of eyebrows.
Yeah, you know, sometimes if they've done a good job, there is no trail. And I think one of the things that I picked up from Fletcher Prouty, he says, is when protection that's supposed to be there isn't, and relaxed when you study these things in other countries, that's when you know that something is up. And this protection is almost beyond belief, you know. So if you wanted to go there, if you wanted to say, I just can't believe the guy got up on the roof and he was there that long.
Len, you're like me. I can't stop like rolling my mind. I have two thoughts that are constantly going through my mind since the kids from Bethel Park, my hometown, 5 minutes away, and the other thing about why was that rooftop left open? I mean, that's like so. I mean, if you got a bunch of high school kids together, they'd be like, hey, dude, I think we should secure that roof. Somebody could be up there and joke around and stuff. So even like kids, civilians, people know that. And these are trained professionals that have a history of assassination and the history of the Secret Service. They lost JFK. They almost lost Reagan. That attempt was more dangerous than we thought. Yes, they protected Reagan admirably, got him in the limousine. Turns out the bullet ricocheted off the bulletproof glass of the door and came very close to his heart. We did not know at the time. This came out later on in Del Wilber's book, Washington Post Reporter, and other. It's definitely confirmed. It's not speculation. It's 100% fact. The doctors even confirmed. He had an exploding type bullet, John Hinckley. It just didn't explode. If it would have ricocheted the door and exploded, he's dead. And we lost another president. So, I mean, it's just crazy, man. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Well, there's even something weird about that, because I understand it ended up looking like flat and like the size of a dime, and
yes,
just beside his heart.
Yes.
Know, so
absolutely right. Yep.
Well, we don't have to get into that, but the thing I wanted to talk to you about was just the anomalies of Secret Service protection. Like we were just saying a minute or two ago, these ladies there seemed oh so unprepared. Yeah, you use the word Keystone Cops, but it's even
like mall guards.
It's worse
or
than that. Yeah, it's worse than
that. Yeah, like mall guard security or something. You can just tell. You get a feel for things. Like when you see a professional athlete that's on their game, you know, the elites and that. Even people that aren't that elite, you can tell they know what they're doing. They're trained. They're primed. They're in position to know what they're doing. They just – not all of them. The one male Secret Service agent, Tall, with the glasses – he was the one agent they said actually was part of Trump's regular detail. He was there in the trial during New York over the last few months. He was there with Trump, but the other ones were all brand spanking new. I didn't recognize them from Adam. And yes, I keep track of agents, even if I don't know their names and know their faces, and I could see them before. And they were all new to me too, other than him. So again, it really is grist for the mill. And again, it's real clear politics is reporting this. This is based on Secret Service and other sources that the permanent detail stood down for the Butler rally because they were overburdened working consecutive weeks and they needed a break. So they had these temporary agents in there. And even the site agent was relatively new and of limited experience. And what was really amazing about the slope, I mean, they should be fired immediately. The director of the Secret Service, this woman's claiming, well, you know, that's a sloped roof, and, you know, we thought that may be a danger to law enforcement up there. And yet they had sloped roofs for the Connor sniper teams facing that rooftop. How ridiculous. I mean, 10 years ago, there was another female director. I can't remember her name right now, but she was let go because someone scaled the White House fence and got into the White House itself. It wasn't for him being tackled by an agent in the door who knows what, you know, havoc he would have wreaked. And she was let go for that. She was a scapegoat. Just the asinine statement she made on the news. Yes, I've actually heard the audio. It's not somebody speaking for her. It's actually heard. And I've heard it looped over and over again. I can't believe it. They're saying a sloped rooftop, yet the other rooftops are sloped, equally sloped. They had the counter-sniper teams on. They had no trouble getting there. They had no trouble blowing away from 140-some yards
I think
away.
I sent you a video of a cow on the roof like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny. It's not from that barn, but it's just, how the hell does that cow? Anyway, yeah.
Yeah,
sorry
you're right.
About that. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Crazy.
The number of things that seem wrong give me that pause to doubt that, you know, maybe there's more to this. Maybe this, you know, I mean, if he was killed, it would be the perfect setup that, you know, this unknown kid and they killed him right away. I mean, how fast did they return fire? I mean, it was
instantly. And you got to keep in mind, again, in this day and age, the FBI can't get into his phone. By the way, the FBI is still there. The road is still blocked off all these days later. They're still there. You can't go on that road. There's local police and FBI there. So they can't get into his phone. They can't discover a motive. You got the contradiction of him being registered Republican and at least his dad, if not both of them, being avid Trumpsters. So you got that smokescreen right there. It's just the whole thing. This is now, like you said, when you look at this kid, you can't always go by looks. But when you look at him, you go, oh my God, it's Napoleon Dynamite. What a nerd. I mean, this nerd came within a gnat's eyelash of assassinating Trump when he said he was a bad shot. Reminds you of Oswald. He's a bad shot.
Right.
And
so,
he failed his rifle team.
Yeah.
So,
and in the case that maybe there is more than one gunman.
Yes.
Right? And I'm just pulling that out of thin air. But if that happens to be, you know,
Len, you're not pulling it out of thin air. You know about the story. Now, I saw in the video myself, the woman right after this happened, I'd say within a half hour or so, she was interviewed, and she's a Trumpster. Obviously, she loves Trumps and that, so it's not somebody with an axe to grind. And she's an Academy Award-winning actress, and she was making it up, which I don't think she was. You could just see the hysteria in the woman. And she said someone was shooting from a tower. And from what I understand, there's at least another witness or two that's claiming that somebody shot from a tower. And I did see a TikTok video of an iPhone video that day. And someone's reacting in the grandstands behind Trump, and where the bullet hit, you can see like a little flash of a bullet, and the people react to the flash. So it's not like, oh, Vince, that's just a reflection. They react to the flash. The trajectory was not from the roof of where Thomas Matthew Crooks was. So it's grist for the mill that there were two shooters. He could have been a patsy. This could have been an inside job. There could have been a dirty element of the Secret Service. I mean, it's hard to wrap our head around it, but we go back to 1963, and most people in the research community have no trouble at all agreeing with me that, Vince, I agree with you, man. The agents were dirty. So all it takes, two or three agents. Well, you go up to 2024, all it takes is a couple that stand out. It's action through inaction. It's not so much what you do, it's what you don't do. Did the agents on the fall car behind Kennedy shoot him? No, and that's ridiculous about Hickey. That's stupid. And Greer didn't shoot the president. But what they did do is they let the triggers do their dirty work by not moving. And so the same thing could very well happen here. So it's very much grist for the mill. The story's not over. I'll be very anxious to see what the so-called official investigation is going to come up with. And I'll be mad as hell if it's a whitewash. If it's just like business as usual and they just say, well, we'll just have tighter security going forward. It's like, no. You got to make sure no one could ever get on a roof again, which they should have done decades ago. This was already done.
You would think they'd have drones looking down on the field.
Yes.
It would be so obvious.
Yeah, and again, people don't realize this. I printed it in my books, too. FDR days, rooftops were guarded. Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy. Most people, I'd say 95-99% of people walking the earth think, oh, Vince, that only came out as a reaction to the assassination. But no, my new book coming out, I got even more examples of rooftops being guarded. You can even see policemen in certain circumstances. You can see them on the roofs themselves in Milwaukee, Nashville, Paris, Germany, Ireland, beloved Ireland. There was police on the rooftops there with binoculars. So even in friendly town, you know, friendly area like Ireland, it loved Kennedy. It's his hometown, so it's because home country. And there you go. So, yeah, you would think they would learn their lessons after all this. And here we go. You know, it's scary. I mean, I know people are only human. People make mistakes. But that is a zero fail to borrow Carol Leonig's title of her number one best-selling book on the Secret Service a couple years ago, it literally is zero fail. It's a job. You can't make a mistake. And, oh, shucks. Oh, well, we'll just learn next time, because the ramifications for democracy are just astronomical. So, yeah.
Well, crazy. I mean, if you were to be the devil's advocate or just say that if the people who really had the most to lose from Trump being elected put this together, then they just missed by millimeters, you know.
Yeah, and this BlackRock thing, people were making a lot of hay of that, Len. I've seen it. I keep bringing up TikTok, but this is, say, social media. I've seen a lot of people's jaw dropping. I've even seen people that are very pro Biden saying, wait, this kid out of billions of people on the planet, this kid's in a BlackRock commercial. What
and, you know,
the hell?
One thing people say about TikTok, that they want it banned, but TikTok was playing a lot of videos and clips that I think the old guard is really worried that people can film almost anything and get out with the news, so it's not been massaged or you know, fed to by
the mainstream
CBS
media,
yeah.
NBC, ABC, CNN with their biases. And yeah, you're right, man. It's there, unexpurgated. There it is, unedited. Here we go. And there's even my commentary going along with it in real time. Like, you believe this? Look at this. Look at it. I've seen so many videos where people are like with their fingers pointing. Look at this video. You're not going to believe this. They slow it down. They show them crawling on the roof. Everyone's saying the same thing, man. It stinks. It stinks security-wise. It's definitely grist for the mill that there was something beyond just some random kid. And again, he was supposedly a bad shot, and then he becomes a master marksman on that day. I mean, he might as well have been a part of the counter-assault team. He seemed to be just as good of a shot. I mean, Trump doesn't turn his head. He does the same thing that they did to him. It's just crazy, man. Really,
I know. People, I should try to make a link to it. That animation, it shows the millimeter, quarter inch. I mean, you know, he was hitting the ear. So,
yes.
And the second shot maybe missed a little further. But let's get into some of the weirdness now. Have you seen the video of the person sitting behind Trump where all
yes.
of a sudden they sit down, they're not startled at all?
Yes.
What's your impression of that video?
I got to admit. That is bizarre. I mean, she's standing there. She's sitting there. She has sunglasses, okay? Well, she started out. She's standing there, okay? Shots ring out. Her mouth doesn't open a gape. She's not scared. She's not running. She's not falling for cover. She just very calmly sits down and immediately starts filming. Like, immediately starts filming from Trump's vantage point. She's filming him. It's like, that's pretty damn cold-blooded for someone you're going to a rally with standing behind them. Those are marquee seats and you're standing behind them. They're picking the people that are on the surface are the Trumpsters of the Trumpsters. They love Trump.
Could be an error, so I hate to correct you, but I thought she sat down while he was still talking before. It was like, you know, she's looking around. It's like, okay, the two-minute mark, okay, this is going down. She sits down, gets ready, and then the shooting starts, and then she's got her phone out ready and filming right away.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people making videos off the TV. Vex. Somebody did it, like, I don't know if it was in real time, but very soon after the assassination attempt, when they showed the video again on CNN, he was there with his wife, and he's filming. Look at this lady. Why is she acting like that? Everyone else is dropping. Their mouths are open. They're screaming. They're yelling, and she doesn't scream. She doesn't yell. Her mouth never opens. She's got these dark sunglasses on. And she immediately starts filming, like, when the bullets probably just landed. I mean, she's filming. And again, that's definitely grist for the mill that something's going on there, too. Like, was somebody going to be like I've seen people say something to the effect of, was she supposed to be the off-the-records the Brewer capturing it for posterity, like, from her vantage?
Yeah, and then –
because her video hasn't surfaced yet, by the way, in case you're wondering. That hasn't surfaced, whatever she filmed, so –
okay,
yeah.
Let's talk about the news then. Another stunning thing was, right after this, we get reports Trump, Secret Service helps Trump after he stumbles on stage. Trump fell over or something. Did you see some of these? I mean, I hate to say CNN always, but it was just like crazy. What?
Yeah.
It was an assassination attempt.
I know. Yeah. And the thing that makes it even worse is they sit there and, you know, Trump's asking, can I get my shoes? At that point, they should have said, no, sir, we can't afford to get your shoes. You get your head blown off, and it almost was blown off. They should have immediately taken him to the car. Instead, he's able to grovel for shoes they eventually threw off the side of the riser anyway, the podium. This whole thing is just so strange.
No, but I meant about the CNN and some news stations not reporting it as an actual shooting.
They
reported it that he fell or he stumbled or whatever, you know. And it was like, is that a fallback position? How could any reporter type that up?
At first, they were just saying it was like an incident. They weren't saying it was an assassination attempt. It was so obvious that this was an assassination attempt. I'm hearing gunshots. Those aren't firecrackers. You can definitely tell they're gunshots. And everyone's jumping down for cover. Those aren't firecrackers or sparklers or whatever. Those are gunshots. And to even say that was some sort of incident occurred, nah, that wasn't an incident. That was an assassination attempt. Call it a spade, call it for what it is. This assassination attempt.
I know. I think on Jimmy Dore, they had one video where it says, "Well, we still don't know what the intention was," and he made the joke. He wasn't throwing vitamins at him, you know.
Yeah, the intention. Yeah. You've got to be kidding. He was there to shoot together. That I got to admit, that was really bizarre. You're playing it way too safe to the point it's asinine. His intention. He wasn't wishing him well in his campaign. If he's shooting at the man, he's trying to kill him. Come on. That ends it. What are you talking about? An AR-15, too. Wasn't like a BB gun. Then you could maybe say, well, he was trying to maim him or he knew he couldn't kill him, so he was shooting a BB gun just to hurt him. You know, it was like a protest. Then you would have a little bit of leeway. Well, Vince, a BB gun doesn't kill people. So, yeah, that was just a horrible thing. It was an assassination attempt. It was just like this assault on the life of Trump or something, or his well-being. But he's shooting an assault. They pretty much soon after knew it was an assault weapon of some kind. This is just, yeah.
Seconds later. And here's the two things I did want to bring up. I wanted to ask you about the time to acquire a target. When you said that the return fire was instantaneous, to me that means they had the guy in their scope. They had eyes on that guy, and as soon as he fired, they returned fire. I mean, and I don't want to influence you. I'm asking, you know, I could go on and just give my own opinion, so I'm actually trying to ask you.
No, they estimate it was about 42 seconds from the time he was seen on the roof, finally by the counter-sniper team, finally spotted him. It was 42 seconds, then they finally shot to kill, and they killed him. But again, backing up, why wasn't he spotted before? Why wasn't there drones? Why wasn't law enforcement on the roof? Why wasn't law enforcement preventing him from going up the ladder, whether it was his or it was a stationary ladder, it was already there? Why did they stop him in the magnetometers and take him in for questioning and say, you know what, why do you have these rangefinder glasses? Why do you need hunting glasses at a rally? What's up with that? And the way he was milling around all by himself, acting as a, he looks like the typical, I hate to say it, he looked like the typical lone nut, the weirdo, the person that stuck out, you know, in a rainy day or whatnot. And, you know, they don't have a raincoat, or they do have a raincoat on a sunny day, or their hands in their pockets.
Umbrella, waving it up and down.
Exactly. So he raised a lot of red flags even before anything started. Before the rally even began, he was raising flags, red flags. And yet it came down to those 42 seconds. And again, to give them only the counter-sniper team, no one else in the Secret Service, to give the counter-sniper team a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, probably at that point, those guys are thinking that rooftop is manned. We got that under control to the best of their knowledge. And when they saw a human figure up there for a second, they're probably thinking, don't shoot to kill. That's probably one of our guys. Then they're like, oh, and that's another thing, too, I brought up, too. What happens if Thomas Matthew Crooks would have went up there disguised as a police officer or a Secret Service agent of some kind? Then he really would have got away with it. Because you talk about the hesitation if he's dressed in all blues, you know, police blues, or he's in some sort of uniform, and just go back to 2012. This might be a weird analogy, but in 2012, the Aurora, Colorado theater shooter, he dressed like one of the tactical guys, like the TAC guys. And some of the tactical guys even said when they first encountered him, they thought he was one of them. They were like, oh, and like, oh, no. And then they put two and two together, but for crucial moments, they thought he was one of them. Well, again, imagine if he would have stole a uniform of some kind, even a security uniform, which are easy to get. He could have went up there and really had a successful assassination attempt rather than go up there in kind of like, redneck clothes, camouflage kind of clothes. He would have went up there in some sort of – from a distance, you could see how the counter-sniper team would have thought it was one of our guys. You know, so this could have really been a successful assassination if he went up there disguised as some sort of law officer. So,
okay, well, great. That's grassy knoll talk.
Yep.
Now,
yes.
One of the items here that I did want to ask you about is what do you make of this that we're told that the sniper team only returned fire? Like, it just seemed weird to me. I thought, what? They wait until the shots happen?
No, that's not true. I don't know whoever started that. That's not true. They have orders to shoot to kill. They're authorized to kill. They cannot wait for there was a story going around that was debunked.
Okay,
was
good. I'm glad you corrected me because that's what I was hearing on the
That's
website.
Okay. Everyone fell for it at first. A lot of people did. They even named the guy Jonathan Willis, and Snopes and some other articles came out and said there's no truth to that. And even Common Sense told me, wait. These counter sniper guys have to wait for some sort of command.
I know. That's why I was going to ask you. I mean, is that true?
They have to,
what the hell?
No. They're just like the Navy SEALs. They're allowed to shoot and ask questions later. They're authorized to kill. Even if it turned out, oh, my God, they killed a 13-year-old kid with a water pistol, they were within their purview. Because if somebody's dancing on the rooftop, even if some young boy with a little water pistol – they probably would have went to trial and they would have been found not guilty because, hey, poor kid was in the wrong place at the wrong time doing something stupid. Well, again, they can't sit there and go, is that a fake rifle? Is that a real rifle? Is that one of our guys or is there not one of our guys? I think that's why the 42 seconds elapsed, but it never should have got to that point. I really don't find any fault in the counter sniper teams. I really don't. I think they're okay. It's the other agents around them and below them that bear the burden. It's not them. It's just, you know, the advanced team, it's the stationary agents after the fact, and whoever did not secure the rooftop. And, you know, like we said earlier, I don't know if I mentioned or not, the actual law enforcement staging area was in that building under the roof. So they actually had their little call center, their little center, so to speak, and he's climbing up on the roof. It's
right under their noses. I mean,
right
that's,
under
the, yeah. And I've seen a picture of that ladder there. I mean, everything I bring up, I go, you got to be kidding me, right? Yeah.
You know, not to sound all like heroic or delusions of grandeur, like Vince, come on, let's calm down now, pal. But if I would have been near that rally, I would have spotted stuff. I would have immediately looked at that rooftop. I'd be scared. And, you know, I don't want collateral damage, too. Not scared for Trump or Biden, whoever it was. I'd be scared of getting shot myself because, you know, look at somebody ended up being killed. Two people got hurt. I don't want to get caught in crossfire. So, you know, if there would have been a tire, I'd be looking at the water tire. I'd be looking at that building and saying, okay, what's this going on there? And I can tell you what, and I actually have a track record for that. Back in, speaking of 1992, then presidential hopefuls Clinton and Al Gore came to McKeesport, PA, and you bet your bottom dollar I was looking all around. I remember it was a real hot day, and he was wearing a trench coat. He looked like a homeless guy, and he was scaring me. And I was going to say something right before I said something. An agent came up to him and said to take his hands out of his pocket. So he beat me to it. But I was looking around. I was looking for high-rise areas. I was looking like around. I was thinking like an agent. So, again, delusions of grandeur. Like, oh, Vince, yeah, sure, Vince. But if I would have been there, I'm confident that I would have raised alarm bells even before this all happened because I would have like looked around and said, wait a minute, what the there's no one up there. And in the fact that you should have visually – that's another thing to answer any questions out there – it should have been visually obvious to people that there was someone on the roof. Because here again, going back to the Kennedy era, yes, the Kennedy era, I've got several pictures in my forthcoming book of you can actually see the police officers, plain as could be, on the rooftops. They're allowed to show their presence there. So go up to 2024, no crime at all to see an armed officer in his uniform stand there with his rifle by his side at attention on the rooftop, so that gives everybody peace of mind, and the security teams know, we're covered, building secure. The absence of somebody being on that building would immediately made me think, okay, what the F? Why is no one on the presence on their rooftop? I probably would have, like I did when we visited the White House in 2010. I actually had some scuttlebutt with some of the officers there, talked to some of them and stuff. And now they kind of smirked and said they couldn't get into any security details. But we appreciate your comments. But I was actually wondering if, God forbid, if President Obama stood out, what would you guys do, blah, blah, blah. And they appreciated the concern, but they weren't going to get into details. But the point being is, I'm confident if I would have been, I know hindsight's 2020, that I could have raised some alarm bells. But, you know, that's hindsight. It is 2020. And what can you do? Monday morning quarterback in that case. But, yeah, Len, from your vantage point in Canada, you're looking down at us and you're probably shaking your head and going, what the heck, America? What are you doing? Yeah. Crazy.
Well, I mean, it's the greatest dereliction of duty, or something was planned and it just didn't. I mean, even if any, I'm sure everyone has seen that movie, Sniper. And when I saw all those flags behind him there, I thought, what, are they still having flags right behind the president to check wind? And, you know, I mean, like, that's what the guys do, right?
Yeah.
Especially with those high-powered scopes and whatever that guy had again. And it was like, it looked like binoculars, right? But you, it's a kind of rangefinder.
Yeah, it's a rangefinder. It's used for hunting. Right there goes, wait a minute, what's he have hunting rangefinder glasses at the magnetometer? The squirrely looking dude all by himself. That's another thing too. He went to the rally alone. Hello, that right there. It's like, I know some people go to the movie theaters alone, but most people go to a movie theater with a girlfriend, spouse, friend, friends plural. You go to a political rally or a concert, chances are you're going with someone. That right there speaks alarm bells. Wait, what's this kid all by himself? He had like army fatigues on for pants. He's got these rangefinder glasses. He doesn't actually go into the rally. He actually doesn't go into the magnetometers. Right there is another alarm bell that could have negated the whole thing. We never would have heard about it. He probably would have been arrested for questioning. And his whole plans would have been scuttled, and that's it. So, yeah, Len, any way you slice this, it's not Monday morning quarterback. When you slice it from the advanced team all the way down to the stationary agents afterwards, keeping them up stationary in all points in between, it's just bad. I'm really going to be attuned to this investigation. I'm going to be very anxious to see what they come up with and what they say. Yeah.
Well, and then the thing is if we're a doubting Thomas, like this director is saying, oh, well, it was supposed to be left in charge of the local police for that building and that rooftop, and we did everything else, and somehow they were derelict. But I go, like, how did he get that rifle in there?
And was, well, here's the thing.
Was it left there for him? If they planted it, and they should have searched the area ahead of time, or they didn't, or someone left that rifle for him. You know, yeah, okay, just show up. Here's the ladder. Here's the gun. Just go up there and do your, you know. I mean,
that too, that's a possibility. But here you got to keep in mind something. Even if it was a law enforcement, local, state and local, that would have manned the rooftop, it's under the direction of the Secret Service. The Secret Service is where the buck stops. They direct all security. They are the primary protective division for presidents, former presidents, their family members, some foreign dignitaries, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So they augment, the state and local police augment the Secret Service, but the directions are given by the agents. So if they try to do that mealy-mouse stuff, they would be crucified by congressmen and senators in hearings. Say, wait, you trying to say the local police dropped the ball? No, you dropped the ball. He said, I spoke to Dan Emmett, we spoke earlier in this conversation. He's a former the three presidents, and even said the Secret Service assumes responsibility there. I mean, think about it, like even, you know, JFK, yeah, the local police, there were shortcomings there, but it was all directed by the Secret Service. It wasn't the fault of the officers. There wasn't enough motorcycles around the car. They were told by the Secret Service, four's enough, and just be behind the rear wheels. That's all we need. No big deal. And about the overpasses and on and on, the buildings not being guarded, that comes down to the Secret Service not doing their job. So it comes down to them. It pains me to say all this because I'm a big admirer of the Secret Service. Might not seem so. Might seem like I'm their worst critic, but actually, they've done a damn good job through the decades. Thousands of men and women have come and gone. They've done a tremendous job under a lot of pressure, stress, you know, lots of overtime. The divorce rate skyrockets, and, you know, they don't see their families, et cetera, et cetera. Burnout, health problems. There's a lot to this job. I mean, just think about it. Your stress level is so high because you realize one false move and you've lost the leader, you've lost the ball game. That's it. It's not like a weatherman who screws up. Oh, silly boy. It rained when you said it was going to be sunny. No damage done.
I know, but You know, that's the thing that about this whole situation is there's an A team of people, and then you just can't believe the fluke that the time this guy goes to take a shot at the president, they've got, like you said, the Keystone Cops. I mean, everything fell into place, and it's just
Parallel. Oh, I'm with you, Len. I tell you what, I definitely, if you want to know point blank, I am not ruling out a conspiracy. I'm not ruling out another shooter. I'm not ruling out an element of the Secret Service could have been involved. I'm telling you right there for the record. I keep going on about you know, deficiencies and negligence, but I am definitely not ruling out any sinister intent here. Because again, you know, we know for the fact, you know, the insurrection, several of Trump's agents let it be known they weren't fans of Biden. So there you go. And then you shoot up to, you know, way back to Kennedy's days. Several of those agents were mad at Kennedy for his private life. They went on record on ABC TV and in books about it. Also in conversations with me as well. One of them was Tim McIntyre, one of the agents on the FOB car feet away from Kennedy. Didn't like Kennedy for procuring prostitutes. And that's illegal. And we treat us like we're procurer prostitutes, and this is a man charged with protecting the president. Again, it's not a stretch of the imagination to think there could have been a dirty element of the Secret Service that wanted Biden to be president, just didn't want Trump around. And again, it's action through inaction.
I think it's much higher than that. I think it's like the big money, the Black Rocks, whatever, where they say a decision has been made and someone's told, look, you guys are told to stand down and just, you know, put these guys somewhere else and put your B team in. I don't think that the Secret Service organized, you know, removal of a president. They were just said, go along, do this on this day. And but the last question, I guess, is how was I going to put it that I think that when I studied the Kennedy assassination, I just really had a hard time believing that any, you know, people hated Kennedy and it was, you know, maybe even 50-50. And now when you see the Trump, that some people really hate Trump, and if you love him or hate him or whatever, you can just see how, yeah, some people would have gone along willingly with something like this. Yeah, we, for the betterment of the nation, we got to get rid of this guy, you know? And
I mean, you're right, man.
And then, you know, you can see it now where back then I remember thinking, how could anyone ever take a shot at Kennedy, who was so good? He was not only America, the world. You know, he was making the world a better place.
You're right. I can't wrap my head around it, too. It just goes to show you, even someone beloved like Kennedy had mortal enemies. You know, Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King, list goes on. And it's a scary thought to think that there's evil out there. There's people that want to do people in. But there you go. Whether it's a conspiracy or it is a lone nut, you know, either way, there's dangerous points. And it gets back to our opening, you know, talk about this, that how could the Secret Service let this happen in this day and age? This isn't 1924. This is 2024. After all the successful attempts, you know, or successful assassination attempts, you know, we've lost four American presidents, came damn close to two other ones, Reagan and Trump, you know, so it's just nuts. It's crazy. It really is.
Well, I'll be interested to see if they can find out, or if anybody wants to report, because thank God, goodness that we have private citizen cell phone footage that people are posting. But yes, how the hell did that guy get that rifle in there? How did he stay on the roof for so long when so many people were reporting to him? And I'm sure people can, search on and find out stuff on Facebook and YouTube and that what we're talking about. There's a lot of footage out there.
There really is, man. Yeah.
And it's surprising. And, you know, out of every five or six that I see, I send you one link. I don't send everything because I thought,
I appreciate all that.
So what? But, you know, a couple of ones that were like, holy cow, have you seen this?
Yeah, crazy. It seems like it's a daily thing since Saturday. This is Wednesday, and every day I'm getting something.
Yeah.
Yeah, seeing something.
And it's I'm happy that I know that you don't like Trump at all, but you're looking at this with an open mind. You're going, hey, there is something wrong here. Regardless if I like him or not, there's something weird. And
I can't stress this enough. What I said to opening, I don't hate him in the true sense of the word. I hate his politics and I hate the way he is, but huge but here. I don't wish him any harm, any way, shape, or form. I want him to live his life happy and healthy. Same with Biden. I don't hold any like evil intent against him. I just don't like him as a politician. I don't hate the man as a man. And he's not my cup of tea, but that's why I said I might as well be a Trumpster the way I feel about that day, because his death would have been catastrophic. I wouldn't have been laughing or happy about it. I would have been devastated and hunkering down for more to come. That would have been part one, and part two would have been martial law and civil war through this country. There is no way in hell that his 80 or 78 million voters, the hardcore, which is many, many millions, would have taken that line down and said, well, that's it. And you would have had the lunatic fringe of Trumpsters that would have been violent. And you would have saw it still be going on now. Again, I think it's a really good analogy to COVID, the pandemic. It would have been another pandemic. Don't go to your offices downtown. Work from home. There's too much violence. You can't get on the subway system. You can't go to stores. We have to ration things. Don't go out. There's too much violence. That's why I don't wish any harm to anybody, and I don't care. That's why I always temper my thoughts when I tell people. It's easy to say, yeah, I hate Trump. Then you stop and say, do you really hate him? Nah. I more like hate the presentation of Trump. But when it was, I'll give you an example. This is a beautiful example. Back in 2012, I quote-unquote hated Mitt Romney. Once the election was over, he was lost. I wished him well, and I had no ill feeling toward him. I was like, hey, I hope he is. His wife seems nice. He seems like a nice guy off the record. He seems all right. All right, well, good luck to you, pal. But during the election, I was like, oh, I can't stand him. I want Obama to win. See what I'm saying? So it's just like this was a reality check. I think this was a slap across the face for a lot of people, Len, because a lot of other people felt the way I did against Trump, said, wow, okay, I don't hate the man that much. I don't want any ill to come to the guy. And then you just realize the ramifications for our country and the world. Again, we'll get the world of thought of us overseas, even in Canada, Mexico, all over the world, what they have thought of the United States. Jeez, they let Trump get killed. What the heck is going on there? So there you go there. So
yeah. And the way you phrased it, they let him get killed, because it wasn't like, oh, you know, it was a car crash or was this. It's like, for this to have happened with this kind of security that they have nowadays, for so many things to go wrong, you could make the conclusion, oh, they let him get killed.
It let him get killed. As soon as anybody overseas heard the details about the rooftop not being manned, right there, that's the end of the ball game. And he said, oh. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if overseas there's millions of people saying, this was staged. They wanted him killed. Why did they do this? I'm sure people in foreign countries are used to conspiracies. They're thinking, oh, come on. Something's up here.
Did you hear some kind of thing that it was an Iranian plot?
Yes. That's the one thing we didn't talk on. It supposedly came out that Trump's security was beefed up because there was a plot with an Iranian origin that was looking to kill Trump. So that's even more of a reason why security shouldn't have been let down. If this is true, it's even worse for the Secret Service. They had this Iranian plot to kill Trump. Well, they beefed security up, and that's what you call beefed up security. That security wouldn't even be good for a local mayor. A local mayor would be like, wait, you know, I know Ed Gainey, the Pittsburgh mayor, he gets a lot of hate. I'd never leave building rooftops open for him. You know there'd be some crackpot at the very least. They would be like, ooh, open rooftop. I'm going to do something. There you go. And this is the leader of the free world at one time who wants to be the leader of the free world again. Yeah, it has ramifications beyond. It's really easy to get caught up in social media, Len, in the heat of the moment. Understand what this guy's saying, what he's doing. But then you say, do you want him dead? No, absolutely not. Then it's like a slap in the face. It really makes you think. And I think it goes both ways, too. If God forbid something happened to Biden, I think a lot of decent folk on the other side would be like, oh, no. We didn't want this. We just wanted to see the man step down or be defeated at the election. We don't want him killed.
Exactly. You know. Or retire or whatever. You made that. With Mitt Romney, you think, no, he's not right for this, and as a Canadian,
well,
you know, my vote doesn't count for anything, right? So I'm just saying, I wish there was more candidates, right? I wish there was four or five that were legitimate candidates, and I don't know, like I said, maybe a Jesse Ventura or somebody else that, you know, you know, really, I was a fan of RFK Jr., but not completely. I mean, he's done a couple of things, I think, in the Middle East. and him not showing up for the Saran not trial, but what do you call it when you're out on parole, a parole hearing, and he was supposed to go there and he didn't show up.
You know, I'm not a fan of RFK Jr., but he has two things going for him. His dad was wonderful, and RFK Jr. adamantly believes there was a conspiracy in the Kennedy assassination, so he's got a couple of virtues. So even there's even good in everybody if you look.
Right, but you know, the one of the greatest lines in rock and roll was about politics: meet the new boss, same as the old boss.
Yes.
So you know
the
that
who won't get
when,
fooled again.
Right, but won't get fooled again. So if Trump gets in, there's going to be the next time. I mean, in my lifetime, really, when Barack Obama got in there and that day, and I think Oprah was up there and all these people, and I thought, you know what? This it's going to change for the better. And, you know, his first thing was he said, I'm going to close Guantanamo Bay. I'm going to do this and do that. And then they must have got in and said, well, you know, you can talk on the campaign trail, but you're not doing this, you're not doing that, and you're going to load up Wall Street. Guys are going to be in your administration. And, you know, it's slowly, no, nothing really changed. And that was the big thing, a change. So I think after that, you kind of go, well, as everyone goes, I can't believe anything they say, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, good
but
way
in,
to put it.
In this instant, I appreciate you talking, being candid, and you know, we agree on or disagree, but in this thing, we're just having a discussion. We're talking about,
exactly, man.
You know, and
yeah.
Like I say, it might as well be for me, you know, having, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers for some, you know, it's your team, you're rooting
there
for somebody.
You go. Exactly.
And I definitely, you know, wasn't well. I'll just leave it alone. Yeah, I'm just, you know.
No, you have a good perspective on things from your vantage point in Canada. Len's a good way of putting it. Don't get too, like, some people get feverishly demented about things. Like, you know, again, we talk about Trumpsters, and then people get full of hate on the other side too. We all got to come together. Any day we're Americans. You know, presidents are only temporary. They're there 4 years, 8 years, whatever, and life still goes on no matter what. Even if Trump does get in there, it'd be 4 years, and that's it. He can't, you know, he already ran once. He can't run again. So it's in America, it's like that's it, maximum 8 years. So it's not like, oh, he's going to be president 8 years or 12 years. No, it'd be 4 years. We survived once, we survive it again. So from that perspective, that's what gives it. You're still breathing. You're still doing your hobbies, your interests. You're going about your life. You're doing your things. So that, like you said, it's a good point you make. I know what you're saying. The people that didn't like Obama were like, oh, that's the end of the America as we knew it. And they also said, he's going to take your guns. And he never did. But during that time, the people on the other side were like all full of woe and everything. And they survived. Everything's all right. So there you go.
Well, we keep hoping that we're going to make a small effort and make it a better place. And yeah. It's just amazing the things that we've been talking about today. And the slimmest of margins that this disaster was averted, you know.
Millimeters, yeah. Literally. Not even an inch. Inch is too much.
And
millimeters.
I think you articulated that the backlash that could have happened. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see if any military people come forward with tales of, if somebody knew about this ahead of time, if there were, people planning for some kind of, you know, I know John Judge and a few other people talked about that in the Kennedy era where they said, you know, people were in the air. Some of the codes for nuclear things were taken out of airplanes and that, and they weren't sure what was going to happen. But some people, I think, knew that Kennedy was going to be removed. And
crazy.
Okay,
man.
Well, I don't have too much more because it's only been
a few
days.
I think that's it, man. We're good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
we did a long show, man.
I appreciate your time. I really do.
Oh, always, Len. Hey, yeah, you probably have me back again when my sixth book comes out in the fall. So there you go, man.
Of course I will. But in the meantime, if anything new does pop up, just send me an email. I'll be glad to talk about it. And a lot of people are interested and they're, you know, it's an opinion. This show is an opinion. What do you think happened, right?
So yeah. And your show does very well. I get a lot of good feedback, so I really appreciate it, man. Thanks.
Okay, well, I do. I try to be level. You know, it's like, okay, if I just want to go on, I just go on by myself and just say, here's what I think. But I have a guest on to say, what do you think?
Yeah, Good point, man. I appreciate it. Appreciate the forum, yeah.
All right, Mr. Palomero, thank you so much for your time. Just before I wrap up, then, is there anything else you wanted to mention I didn't get to?
I would say we covered it pretty well. I like the open discussion about all the possibilities. And just for everybody, thank you for listening. And we'll be talking to you again, definitely.
Okay, good. Do you have a website or a place where people can find out about your books?
Sure. Well, people could do, the easiest way to do it would be to go on Google and type Vince Palomera, always Palamara, and you'll come to my Amazon page, my blogs, and other things that are on there. So, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll make a link to that.
Sounds good, man. Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much again.
All right. We'll be speaking to you, Lynn. Take care.
Okay, good night.
Bye-bye.